Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Kevin, and I'm joined by the wonderful Marissa. We are both teachers at the LSAT Demon, which you can find at lsatdemon.com. Today, you know, we want to talk about logical reasoning and eliminating answer choices and coming across the right one. So we have this question from Claudia, which says, I have a logical reasoning question. I've watched a lot of videos on TikTok that the secret of getting all the questions correct is to not look for the correct answer, but to eliminate all the wrong answer choices until you are left with one. Would you recommend this approach in this section? Why or why not? So thanks for sending that in, Claudia. What do you think about that, Marissa?
Yeah, Claudia, I think it's a good question. And I think it just sort of opens, you know, a can of worms. Like, there's no right or wrong here, but we are going to talk about the way that we tend to approach LR at the LSAT Demon and how we arrive at the correct answer. And so one thing that I think about that approach is that it is just one way to get to the correct answer, right? It is not the only way. And in my mind, it is not my default way. So what I do and what I teach, especially in my class LR prediction mode, is that we are reading the passage with such care and such attention that we can understand, hey, this is actually flawed and here's why, or, oh, this is actually just a collection of facts. And, you know, they might ask me something that must be true or whatever, right? But I go into reading the question, having read the passage so well that I know, oh, okay, there's a gap here. There's a missing assumption. There's something going on, right? Then I read the question and then I make my strong prediction, right? So the question's asking me, oh, well, the logic in this argument fails to consider what, right? I'm going to think, yeah, what is the flaw here? What is this person failing to consider? I'm going to make my prediction. And then the way that I would address the answer choices is, then I would open them up and look at them, right? If I'm drilling in prediction mode, I'd open them up and look at them. And I would say, what's the thing that most closely matches my prediction, right? And I would select that answer, but I would read all of them, right? Because each of the wrong answers is wrong for a reason, right? And the right answer is correct for a reason. And so ideally, you're doing the work up front of predicting the correct answer, identifying it in the answer choices, and then just sort of using that elimination to rule out all the other bad answers, right? Because there are going to be four. What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I read this and I think the secret of getting all the questions correct, how mysterious. And I'm like, you know, I wish there were tips and tricks that you could just use and you'd get everything right on the LSAT. But, you know, there is not really a secret. It's the secret, if you want to stretch your imagination a little bit, is understanding the passage, understanding the question, understanding the answer choices. And as you said, eliminating the wrong ones. They're wrong for a reason, you know, sometimes for multiple reasons, you know, it's not always just one thing. And the correct answer will stand alone. It will pop out. You'll see it. It's like shining angelically, you know, like this is the answer right here. And your prediction, I think you're totally right about predictions there. You know, it's a tool. It's a guide for us. You know, we found the problem or we found the facts that are mentioned in the passage, and we're going to apply that to the correct answer choice that we see in the question. And, you know, sometimes predictions are not perfect. They don't have to be, but, you know, critically engaging with the passage and coming across that prediction should help you get rid of those four wrong ones and come across the correct one. So the secret isn't, you know, this method that TikTok is sharing with you. Be wary of TikTok, I guess. But, you know, answering the question and eliminating the wrong ones, being super aggressive about that, is a totally valid way to go through it. You know, yeah. Sometimes looking for the correct one is easier for a certain question. Sometimes the other one, you know, another question, it's easier just to eliminate the wrong ones. And, you know, they're tools for you. So that's how I would look at it.
Definitely. And I love that you say, like, you know, there's sort of a difference and these are just tools, because really, like, when you think about a question type question type that is answer driven, like, you might predict something that would certainly be a weakener, but it might not be in the answer choices, right? If you're trying to also do like a most strongly supported or things like that, like, you're looking to the answer choices to make the decision, like, which one of these is most like likely to do whatever, or right? So you are being asked to sort of like compare the answer choices against each other. So like with the answer driven question type, where the answers kind of come out of thin air, like kind of come out of the out of the answer choices, of course you're going to be eliminating, because what you should be doing is like what Kevin said, you're reading these with a healthy sense of skepticism because 4 out of 5 of them are wrong, right? So you're going to be like, well, no, this doesn't make any sense. Like, and you know, Matt calls it like hopping off the train or whatever, right? Like, when do you hop off the train? Like, you don't have to ride this thing to the end if there's already something in the first 2 words that make you skeptical, right? If you get a passage that tells you some paintings are like this and some paintings are like this, if it says, oh, so we can conclude all paintings, then you're like, all, I'm off the train, right? I don't even need to keep going. Right. So like that skepticism, and also like, yeah, that's how you're, it is process of elimination for some question types, but it's also like engaging with these things in a way that's like, I know that you're probably not right because there's only like the 80% of you are wrong. Right.
Yeah. I love that analogy. I've never heard that before. Yeah. I like that. Get off the train. You know, it's like, yeah, it's not worth your time at a certain point in answer choice. And, you know, you just, if it's wrong, you're like, okay, great. Thanks for revealing yourself to me. I can go now find the correct answer a little bit more easily. So
exactly.
Cool. That's all I got. Do you have anything else you want to add, Marissa?
No, I just would, yeah, I would reiterate that these are tools. So don't like marry yourself to just one approach. I would really encourage you all, if you don't already predict, to learn how to predict. And there are plenty of blog posts on Thinking LSAT. And obviously we have lessons and classes on it. But it is a really, really strong tool, but it's not the only tool. So I just get out there and yeah, work on things to add to your toolbox.
Yeah, I agree. Come to class. This is our plug. Come to class and learn some real secrets, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for listening today. If you email daily@lsatdemon.com, you can ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.